Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a writer, constant mover, not a very good manager, but he is a smart entrepreneur. He spent his formative years performing website usability tests for clients like Staples, Google, Yahoo, Verizon, and many, many more. He was then accepted into TechStars, a mentorship-driven startup accelerator. This is where him and his co-founder catalyzed the idea and plan for J Squared Media, which later became PlayQ, a mobile games company. He is also the number one best-selling author of The Connection Algorithm. Now, let's hack. Jesse Tevelo. Have you been scared, shaking, and hesitating on the edge of starting your own business? It's time to jump in. It's time to find your maniacs, and I have created 1,000 Maniacs specifically for you. I will show you exactly how I went from 0 to 1,000 email subscribers and turned them into maniacs. Then I will show you exactly how to create and sell your first product with the Tiny Product System. 1,000 Maniacs will teach you everything you need to know about setting up an email list, autoresponders, what to send and when, developing a relationship with your list, and how to create what your maniacs want and then sell it to them. Claim your free roadmap right now. Go to 1000maniacs.com and get on the list to get priority access to the next live webinar. That's 1000maniacs.com. Your maniacs are waiting. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure, man. I think it's going to be a blast.
Me too, man. Ready to go.
All right. Jesse, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So my answer for this is actually something that's sort of been on top of mind for me for the past couple years, actually. And I've written a few books and we'll probably talk about that. But those books that I've written have been sort of around this exact question, is sort of how do you keep moving forward? You know, how do you make sure you get through the tough times of being an entrepreneur? And my answer is really just to keep making moves. And that's kind of been my mantra for the last couple of years, is to never stop moving. And that's what my second book, Hustle, is really just all about, that. And it sounds kind of silly maybe to people listening, but I think a lot of people forget this. And it's one of those simple truths that I think people overlook, where, you know, to me, if you're moving, you know, you're making progress. And I think a lot of people get stuck. They think that they need to, you know, do more research or figure more things out. And then they sort of just stop, and sort of the, you know, paralysis of analysis problem sets in. Or a lot of times it's fear driven, where people will just, you know, stop making moves and stop trying to push themselves forward because they're just not sure of how things are going to turn out. And so, you know, whenever I get into a slump or I'm not sure about what I'm doing, I just tell myself, okay, I have to just keep putting things out there, keep making moves. And, you know, eventually things start to, you know, form together, and you can start making steps, you know, in a particular direction and start having a more clear idea of what you're doing. But yeah, so I don't know if I hope that makes sense. But to me, it's just that simple mindset of, like, I have to keep doing things and you know, things will come back around.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, Jesse. And how, I like the concept, how many moves in, like, say to kind of correlate, like, maybe chess to entrepreneurship. I don't know if there's a correlation in the sense, but how many moves do you have to know before, like, to keep moving? Like, do you have to be like, okay, I can see the next 3 moves, the next 5 moves, or is it literally, I can see the next move in this direction and that's where I'm heading?
It's literally the next move. I think that's a great question, and it actually just adds to the point that I think a lot of people tend to think that way. I need 5 moves, or I need 10 moves. I need to know exactly where things are going. And I disagree with that. I think you just need to make one move. Just make the next move. And a great book called The One Thing kind of covers that, where you're just focused on one specific thing. I forget the name of the author, but amazing book. If you kind of go with that mentality, it's less intimidating, right? Like you just have one thing to think about. What's the next single thing that I can do that's going to cause some kind of activity? And that could be something as simple as sending an email out, right? Like you sent me an email to come on the show and I responded and here I am. So that was one simple action that you did that pushed things forward for you.
Yeah, totally. The one thing, brilliant book, Jay Papasan and Gary Keller.
There you go. Gary Keller. Yeah.
Brilliant book. And you're right with the idea of kind of keep moving and never stop moving. And I love how you tied it back to me emailing you, because if I would have emailed you and you did any sort of research about me to be like, oh, this guy wants me on his podcast, and then you kind of just like quick Google search to see, and it's like if there was nothing about me, kind of like this guy's literally not done anything, like I might be his first move in the last year, you probably would be less likely to say yes.
Exactly.
I find that people typically want to work with, you want to help, you want to be around other people that are in motion. It's just the way it is. And it's not even an analysis of, is their motion the right motion right now? It's literally just, are they doing stuff? Are they moving? That's it. Like, I don't want to try and grab you from a dead stop and like get you moving. I want to just kind of join you when you're already in motion.
Absolutely. That was very eloquently said. And I mean, it weaves into another thing that I talk about, which is, I'm just going to jump into some of the principles of my other book because it fits here. But in another book that I wrote called The Connection Algorithm, I talk about these steps that you can use to kind of have this mindset that we're talking about. And one of those steps is create. And it's just about this, what we're talking about, doing things and actually creating value. And sometimes that's tangible, sometimes it's not. But to your point, you know, if you're putting things out there, then people are going to go and they're going to see that. And so, you know, you gave a perfect example, and it's actually exactly what I did. I had actually already heard about you, again, because you were doing stuff. I had seen your book, Hack the Entrepreneur, on Amazon. So you're putting stuff out there into the world. And so, you know, exactly as you said, when you reached out to me, it was that much more powerful and that much more of a, you know, a higher conversion rate, you know, chance for me to say, yeah, like I would love to interact with this guy who's doing all this cool stuff.
So. Nice. I love it. All right, Jesse, we need to go back a little bit now. And let's just take it back to wherever this happened in your life. But there seems to be, when we look back, there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things, that either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or as seems to mostly be the case, they find that they simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. So I'd like you to take us back, Jesse, to when this happened for you. And then also tell us which side of the fence you see yourself on.
Yes, I am in the second group, and I've listened to your show, and it does seem like most people are in this group. I don't know. I think that's just because maybe like the majority of people think that they're supposed to just do, you know, like the traditional path of things. So they go down that path and then they go, ah, crap, this sucks. So that's what I did. I went, you know, I went to college, graduated, started looking for jobs, you know, did what people do. And I ended up getting a great job out of school at a startup called Seamless Web at the time. But that's a huge sort of food delivery service. They merged with Grubhub. That was a really cool experience. I was there sort of early on. I really liked that. Then I went to another job because basically I got a pay raise and I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. And this job was in New York City, and it was a tech consulting company called Keynote. And, you know, Keynote's a great company, nothing wrong with it. But for me, it just wasn't a good fit. And it really felt like a 9-to-5. And they, at that time, they had brought in a lot of people through acquisition. And so I got put into a team that was sort of just the result of an acquisition, and they didn't really know what to do with that department. And so we were doing like usability stuff and user experience stuff. And it was all very cookie cutter. And so to me, that was just incredibly boring. You know, we were sort of just like putting the inputs in and spitting out the same output and giving that to a client. And it just wasn't getting my heart pumping. And so, you know, that was really tough for me. And that was the moment when I realized like, I can't do this. I can't do this like 9-to-5 job. I can't do this like working for someone else thing. I don't want to say working for someone else, but just being in a position where I wasn't really motivated from like an intrinsic, you know, standpoint. And so, you know, that's when I ended up meeting my eventual co-founder for my first company at that company. And then I ended up quitting my job, went into the Techstars program, which is a really awesome accelerator program. And that was sort of the beginning of everything, of me just saying, all right, I'm screw this like normal, you know, this normal lifestyle or this normal 9-to-5 thing, and jumped off and went into the deep end and tried to figure out what this whole entrepreneur thing was about.
Nice. When you say that that's when you met your co-founder, I believe that would be for J Squared Media, or formerly J Squared Media at the time?
Yeah, J Squared Media, which became a company called PlayQ.
So how long did it take you after you met who became your co-founder that person would become your co-founder?
We talked for about a year back and forth about stuff, had some really great ideas, and then, you know, just kept the conversation going. And then eventually we decided to apply to Techstars. And so yeah, it was a while, definitely a while of sort of getting to know, you know, who this guy was. And, you know, I'm actually doing a new thing now and met this amazing guy who I'm working with. And we've been talking for, you know, the last 3-ish months now. And so I think it's a good point. It's like, take some time to sort of get to know someone. And I think that's really important when you're trying to build something. You definitely want to, you know, spend some time.
Do you have something you look for in a co-founder? Like, is there something that like sets somebody apart where, because we obviously in the online space, we meet a lot of people through Twitter, through Skype, through email, just in passing that will never go anywhere and never do anything. But then all of a sudden you get a connection to somebody maybe and like, maybe this is somebody I should go deeper with.
Yeah. Love this question. Amazing question. It's tough. And I actually have spent a lot of time trying to figure this out. I've literally spent the last about 2 years, you know, as I've been writing books, I've been also trying to, you know, I've had a lot of different business ideas that I'm trying to sort of get going. And it's been, you know, difficult to find someone that I think could be a really good person to work with. And so there's two things that I look for primarily. The first thing is, and this is weaves in perfectly with everything we've just talked about, is I look for people who do stuff. And so you have a lot of people out there who are, you know, they're talking, they say they want to do this or that, but they're not doing anything. And so I always look for a person that's like, oh, I already did this, I already did that. And that might sound scary to some people listening, but it's really not. It's not like you have to be a billionaire or anything, or you don't have to be Steve Jobs, but you have to be doing something and showing that you can actually get your hands dirty, take chances. A lot of it's about just taking risks and just taking that leap. So I look for those kinds of people. And obviously there's pretty much always there's tangible evidence of that. So it's pretty easy to look at someone and go, okay. So, you know, for example, for you, you've got a book out, you're doing a podcast, like you have products, you have things that you've done. So that's number one. Number two, and this is something that I've just recently sort of realized. I mean, I always knew it deep down, but I've just recently begun to realize how important this is. And the second part is culture. I mean, internal culture, like who is this person? What are they like? What are their values? What do they care about? You know, what type of life do they want to have? And that might seem weird, but it's a long-term view. So what I'm doing is I'm saying, okay, is this someone that I think I can be extremely close with 10 years from now or 20 years from now? And I think that's really important, because a lot of times we get caught up in, you know, what's the product? What's the thing? What are we putting out? How are we making money? You know, like all these like little sort of more short-term or sort of surface-level things that's like, yeah, we all want to make money, but, you know, at the end of the day, I believe, and this, you know, this is my personal stance, but I believe that the human element is just the most important thing by far. So I always look at that.
Nice. I love it. And really, it's kind of aligning your whys rather than only just talking about the what. What are we going to make? What are we going to make? How are we going to sell it? It's kind of like, well, what's the ultimate why? And will we stay aligned sort of in goals and what we want to achieve?
Exactly. And you know, I've talked to the new guy that I've been working with, really, really brilliant guy. And, you know, we're working on this new thing, which we'll talk about later, but I've been talking to him and working with him for the last, I think about 3 months now, maybe four. And we've spent more time talking about culture and who we are as people than the product, which to me is an amazing sign. It's a great sign.
Yeah, it is. And so also usually a point to, or I guess a defining moment of finding the right co-founder or co-founders is usually differences in skill sets, right? And so now let's move to this idea that all experts now talk about, right? The whole 80-20 rule. Do 20% within your business, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Also sometimes find a co-founder to fulfill the rest. But Jesse, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Sure. I'm not good at all kinds of stuff. I am really not the best at, I'm not, right now I don't consider myself a great manager. That's something I've had a lot of trouble with in the past with businesses scaling up. So that's something where I'm working on it. We'll see what happens with all my future endeavors. I'm not sure, you know, like if, you know, should I be the person who's managing a team of 100 or something, you know, if a company scales up. So we'll see. That's one thing that I find pretty difficult. I tend to like to get sort of my hands dirty and do stuff in terms of what the product is. And so when it comes to sort of stepping outside of that and looking what other people are doing and trying to figure those things out, to me, that's a little bit more nebulous. Not to say that I don't think I could do it, but it's just, I think it's something that is definitely on the, you know, on the weaker end. I also get really focused on one thing and then have a hard time looking outside of that. So that's another one. And then I'll throw in one more. I mean, I could go on forever on this stuff, the stuff that I'm not good at. But another one would be like really intense, like data analytics. I'm much more creative driven. I tend to be very product minded and vision minded. And so when it comes to like analyzing data and then figuring out how to optimize things, you know, for me, like when I think about scaling out a team, like I want to bring that person in, you know, I want to find someone who's just like, that's what gets them going. Because again, it's something I can try to like muddle through, but I just know that I'm not the best at that. My mind is much more sort of creative focused.
So as the test for the question, as not a great manager, have too narrow of a focus sometimes, which is actually a really good thing. And then maybe not being able to analyze the data and the metrics properly. Does your co-founder in this new project cover any of those?
Yeah, he's tremendous at a lot of that stuff, which is amazing. You know, he's more engineering focused, so he's got much more of an analytical mind anyways. You know, we'll talk about what we got going on, but we're very early stage. And so, you know, we're not dealing with a lot of these things yet. And so that's another challenge, right? Is like, as you're scaling something up, things change, like the needs that you have will start to change. And so that's when you have to be really realistic with yourself and say, okay, well, what are the gaps? What are the holes? Because, you know, even with me and the person I'm working with now, like there's still going to be all kinds of holes as we grow the business. And so I think that's really important for people to understand, you know, if you're listening, like don't feel like you have to cover every, you know, check off every single box. It's just not realistic. And so, you know, figure out what you're really good at, try to go really deep on that and be the best at that. I think it's great to learn about everything else and have at least surface level knowledge of sort of as much as you can. But if you try to go deep on anything, that's a recipe for disaster. So make sure you realize that, you know, it's a team effort. You're going to have to scale and bring people in who are better than you at a lot of different things.
So very well said. So very well said. And you're right. Like even between you and a co-founder, you can't cover everything. That's where like employees come into the play. But
yeah, we might cover like 10% of what we need to do. You know, it's like if you're building anything substantial, it's always going to take, it's going to be a big effort from a lot of people, a lot of different brains in the mix.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's move to projects, because you've just begun a new project. And one of the hardest things for, I think, us as entrepreneurs is we are constantly, right? Whether we're at the gym, we're going for a walk, we're in the shower, we're notoriously coming up with brand new ideas and things that we want to accomplish. And then, as you said, like your one thing is being in motion and doing things. And as we discussed, the more you're in motion, the more even people will bring ideas to you. People want to work with you. People want to do projects with you. People want to do stuff. And that happens more and more the more motion you get around you. But that, I think, doesn't even make it easier. It makes it harder to decide what it is the next project. So you, as like an independent entrepreneur writing books and doing your thing in a successful way, you wanted at some point to start a new big project. And you've decided on one. Could you tell us, Jesse, like, was it an internal sort of process you go through, or do you have a written process? But what is that process you go through to determine when a project is the right thing for you?
Sure. Great question. So I do not have a actual sort of written out process, but I definitely do have a loose sort of, you know, structure that I follow. And I think that this is really important. And, you know, you're absolutely right that it's extremely challenging. You know, the thing is I've been in this for the last couple of years because, you know, I went into sort of this phase where I've been writing books for the last couple of years. And so those were projects that, you know, had sort of a beginning and an end, but then they still, as you know, you have a book out. It's a sort of also a constant thing of how you're marketing it and pushing that forward. I'm working on another book now as well. And then in addition to that, then there's also been, as you said, this interest in doing a business. And so it's a lot of stuff. And I've had a lot of things coming at me, a lot of people presenting things, a lot of ideas that I've had for things I could do. And so the answer is you try a bunch of stuff and you try to validate it as quickly as possible. And, you know, you'll hear this all the time, but please, if you're listening, like, take this to heart. Like, it's not just something that people say, or the, you know, like entrepreneurs are just like, you know, this is what you should do and blah, blah, blah. It's actually a real thing. Like, you need to actually validate what you're doing. And the only way to do that is, let's go back to the theme of the talk. You have to do stuff. You have to actually decide on something and then just take that leap and push it out before it's ready. And, you know, just try to start talking to people about it. So I've had several ideas over the last couple of years, and I've put a few of them out, and most of them have not worked. I had an app that I put out that was a communication-based app, and I think it was awesome, but it just didn't have the necessary pieces to get it going. And so it's out, it's live in the app store. It's called Texture. You can go take a look at it. It's kind of cool. It's like just getting started. But I realized after getting it out that it was going to be really tough to compete with all these guys who are, you know, Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp and all these, you know, established companies that were kind of going in the direction that I was thinking about. So I was like, okay, this is going to be really challenging if I try to keep building this out. Besides that, the business model wasn't that strong. And so that kind of took a back seat. There was another product that I put out that was sort of about building applications and helping people build mobile apps. That's still alive as well, but it's something that's taken a back seat because I've seen other opportunities. And so it might seem like I'm all over the place, but I think you have to just reel yourself back in and tell yourself, no, I'm not all over the place. What I'm doing is I'm testing things. And I think that's a trap people fall into. They go, oh, well, I have to pick something and I have to go with that. And what's happening is you are picking something. You're picking something for a week or a month and you're going with it and you're testing it. And then you're picking something else and you're going for it. So I'm not going back and forth between all these things. I'm testing them. And, you know, the latest thing that's come along, which is this company that we're calling Launch Team that I'm extremely excited about, and I'll tell you more about it in a little bit, but that has really, really gained its legs. Like I found a person who I can work with on it. He's very interested in it. We're very aligned with it. We've been hacking away at it for the last couple months. We've got, you know, prototypes up and running. We've got a site that's live. We're bringing in beta users. I've been on the phone with these people. And it's looking extremely compelling. And so I'm saying, okay, I'm going to keep taking action on this. And so it all goes back to making moves. And this is definitely, you know, it's definitely an art, not a science. You know, you have to feel it out. But the best advice I can give you, anyone listening, is to keep trying things and validating them. And then using the feedback loops that you're getting, that you're creating, to decide which thing to double down on and which things that you need to let go. Because there's always going to be a million opportunities and you have to have some way to look at all the options and decide which one to move forward on. One final thing, John, and on this is an amazing book that I just read by Pat Flynn. It's called Will It Fly? Everyone should check out Will It Fly? It's a great book about this, about sort of validating your idea and trying things like before you spend a bunch of time and money on it.
Nice. I love it. I haven't read Pat's book yet, but I need to do it. And
that's
I'll
great.
Link the show notes for everyone. Yeah. And without even reading it, I fully endorse it. Because
yeah, he's amazing. So, quick read and lots of good stuff in there.
Yeah, exactly. And I love this idea of trying things and moving on and looking from the outside, like maybe you're scattered and don't know which way, but you're validating ideas. And right. Launch Team to me looks like a brilliant idea. And then at the end, you mentioned feedback loops, kind of get the feedback loops in place that you want and take that data that comes back to you and use it to determine where to go. So what's a feedback loop you have in place for Launch Team that's going to tell you to continue to move forward or to drop it and go to something else?
Sure. Great question. So, you know, right now, Launch Team is a website that you can go to, mylaunchteam.com. And We put that up so that we would have something to send people to. And so immediately once we got that up, which by the way, it's just very sort of quick and dirty. And so we didn't spend, you know, a ton of time trying to get every little thing right about it. We just said, okay, how can we just get our main point across of what it is, what we're trying to do? You know, I quickly designed that and my partner you know, develop the page and put it out. From there, what we're doing is we're collecting people's information if they're interested in the product. So if they, someone comes to the site and they check it out, if they click a button, typically what you would do is you would have a user onboarding flow and you would, you know, would take someone's information and have them register and all that. So instead of doing that, in place of that, what we do is we have a quick form linked to that buttons. And so right now what happens is you go and you click that and we just start capturing some information from you. So we ask you some questions about what you might want to do with the product, how you want to use it. And then we get your email. And then from there, I reach out to those people so that I can talk to them. And I'm actually talking to them on the phone and saying, hey, you know, really excited that you're looking at this and you're interested. And then I'm getting all this great feedback from them on the phone. It's like, what's your biggest pain point? What do you think about this? You know, people are asking me about the pricing and how it's going to work. And all this stuff is, number one, it's extremely valuable, you know, basically like focus group data. And then secondly, it shows that these people are interested, right? First of all, they signed up. Second of all, they were willing to get on the phone with me. I mean, that's just right there is like, that's huge validation. That shows that these people really care. I mean, time is extremely valuable and these people are getting on the phone with me and talking about it. And so those two pieces right there are extremely useful in terms of validation. And then also just take a step back, you know, we're getting these people from various places, whether it's from my email list or reaching out into various sort of related Facebook groups or other forums online. And so when you get responses from those places, that's again, further validation that people are legitimately into this product. And to just give you a very, you know, nice and simple, easy comparison, when it's not working, none of those things happen. Like when I had, you know, my other products that I mentioned, like those things weren't happening. I wasn't just getting people going in and using the product. And it definitely depends on the product in terms of, you know, how many people are going to come into it. But if you can get that specific tangible evidence that I'm talking about for validation, that's huge in giving you that, you know, push that you need to say, okay, this is something I need to keep working on.
Yeah. And if for nothing else, mylaunchteam.com, click that button because it goes to a type form survey, which if,
yes.
I mean, most people listening, or if they don't, they should, they can get my 21 essential tools that I literally run my business on every day.
And oh, is this one?
Type form is one of them because I'm obsessed Boom. With it. It looks beautiful. It's so easy to set up and it's
oh my God.
Free to use.
I'm so with you on that.
Yeah.
It's the best. And it's like, yeah, that's like a perfect example, you know, of like how to do this in a way that's going to just validate things quickly. We didn't have, you know, you'll see if anyone listening, if you go to the site and do it and sign up on the survey, I mean, it looks great. It looks like we're this like amazing, you know, company. It's got all this stuff, but that's just Typeform. That's just a third party solution. And, you know, like John said, everyone check out Typeform. Great company, great product. They're doing really, really amazing stuff.
Totally. You click that button and you end up and it's like 9 questions. One of them is what's your first name? So it's super easy. To me, this is like a great model anybody could follow. Like it's done for you here. And even at the
Absolutely.
Very bottom of the screen, it says create your own Typeform. There's a link right there.
Yeah.
So this is how to do it. I love it. I love that. This is how that's it's done. And
that's a great point. Like anyone, even if you don't like Launch Team, just like go look at it and see what that process is. You could use that exact process for whatever you're working on. And that could be, you know, that right there is valuable.
This is how to learn if it will fly, as Pat would
yeah.
say.
Yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. So let's go back to, because in the beginning of this, you talked about the two previous, well, one was an app and one was another company that just didn't take off, didn't, for whatever reason, either through market or monetization plans you had in place weren't right. But how do you determine that it's not right? But once you've decided that it's not right, and then we go back to your one thing, which is to keep moving, right? This is something where somebody goes all into, I think you said it was the texture app, and you go all in, you have these big plans for it, and then you realize because of your feedback loops, which I love, that this is not right and you need to kind of shelve it and move on to something else. And you want to keep moving because that's your one thing. But how do you not just get like kicked in the stomach, defeated, and just like, oh my God. So like basically how within your business are you wrong at something? You've decided on a plan and a project. You go into it. The feedback tells you it's not going to work and you need to continue moving because that's your thing. How do you do that without just being defeated?
Yeah, this is very tough. So I'm going to say something that sounds like it makes no sense. So you should make sure you have big plans, but then don't have big plans. And what I mean by that is that, you,
I love it.
is that you have to you have to think big, but then you also have to be realistic. So it's like this seesaw, right? Like you're an entrepreneur, you're going to have these amazing big visions. You're going to get super excited. You're going to be in the shower. You're going to have an idea and you're going to like run out of the shower naked, run around your apartment and be like, this is it. I've got it. You know? And that's great. And I love those moments and I have them all the time. And then your mind's going to start churning. You're going to have all these ideas of what that company is going to be like 10 years from now. And it's going to be worth $1 billion. And that's fine. But then what you need to do is you need to reel it back and say, okay, now what's the very first tiny little step I can do to like validate this thing and just see if, you know, all this excitement is actually, you know, worth it and going to actually work in the real world.
All right. So now the question, Jesse, is you talked about the texture app and you talked about just sort of shelving it. And then you talked about another project and sort of shelving it and moving into this new project. So I want to know about your one thing is constantly moving forward, but sometimes it's really, really hard to have that quote unquote failure of a project and an idea and have that feedback loop tell us it's a failure, have to shelve it, and then also be able to move forward. So could you, Jesse, just walk us through how to be wrong within your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm going to say something that basically makes no sense right now, but then I'll qualify it. So you need to always have big plans, but then you need to not have big plans. And what I mean by that is that when you're thinking about something, you're an entrepreneur, you have a ton of ideas. There's going to be tons of ideas that come at you. And you know, you're going to be in the shower, you're going to have this amazing idea and you're going to, you know, say Eureka in the shower, and then you're going to run out and run around your apartment naked and you're going to have your, you know, your one amazing idea. And you're going to think about what that's going to become and, you know, what's this going to be 10 years from now? And it's going to be this billion-dollar company. And that all feels amazing and it's great. And I encourage you to enjoy those moments. And I have them all the time. But then what you need to do is then you need to reel that back and you need to not have big plans with it. And the reason for that is that if you keep that same mentality of when you think of the idea in the first place, then you're going to try to build out this huge company right from the beginning. And that's can be a huge mistake and leads you into a ton of problems. And so you have to reel it back and say, okay, now it's time for me to not have big plans with this. And instead, I just need to validate it quickly and test it and see if anyone in the real world actually, you know, wants it. Because the thing is you can have a great idea and it can be a great idea and still not work in the market. And so that's where you have to go back to reality and actually test it. So, you know, that's the example I can use with that is that you mentioned was Texture, the app that I started building. And, you know, Texture was a communication app. And you know, if you go check it out, it's in the App Store. If you download it, you'll see it's a piece of crap. Like it's there's not much to it. It's just like it's very, very basic. There's not much design on it or anything. The functionality is very limited. And that was deliberate, you know, because I wanted to spend, you know, as little money and as little time on it as possible in order to just test it. And with a product like that, it was going to require the app to be extremely viral for it to be worthwhile because there wasn't a very good monetization strategy in place for it. So the only way for it to really work was for it to have a ton of users in it. And when we launched that didn't happen. And so I had a choice at that point. The choice was either to spend more time and more resources and more money on making that work or going and trying to use my time and my resources on something else. And that's always the decision that you're faced with. You test something, you see what it's doing, and then you have your choice. Do I keep going with it or do I stop? And for me, in that situation, in that particular situation, I chose to go and try to put my resources somewhere else. Now, I mean, could Texture have worked? I think, yeah, absolutely. I think if I had put more money and time into it, it could have turned into something really amazing. But I had to make that call at that point. And that's, I think, something that's extremely important to understand is that you're never going to have full knowledge of what to do, of what the outcome of your decision is going to be. And so you have to make some moves. You have to get some validation or not. You know, validation can go either way. So validation of yes, I should move forward, or validation of I don't know, maybe not. And then you have to make your choice. And so that's what I did with that one. And you know, now things are happening with some of my new projects where I'm feeling, you know, more confident than I did with those previous projects. And you know, I'll make the point again. I'm not 100% sure what's going to happen with the current stuff I'm working on. And so, you know, John, I might come on your show 6 months from now and I might say, hey, that thing I was working on, you know, launch team, I'm not doing that anymore. But I can tell you that I will definitely be doing something.
I love it. Have big plans and at the same time don't have big plans. And I love your, like, it's the mentality of not really tying like the validation process to the outcome of the project isn't tied to like your own self-worth. So if this project exactly. turns out to not be valid, it doesn't make you as an entrepreneur invalid. It makes that idea invalid. That's it.
Totally. I say that in my book, The Connection Algorithm. I always say ideas and products are failures. People are never failures. People are just a series of experiments, and you're just going through those experiments and learning from them.
Brilliant. I love it. All right, Jesse, this has been a blast, man. Totally. I want to wrap up on one final question for you.
Sure.
This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So it's this place that I think we live in as dreamers, and especially having these big plans, right? Having these ideas, these eureka moments, and we are always projecting our successes into the future. So in 1 month when you hit this metric, in 6 months when you launch this next book, in a year when you hit this revenue metric, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Except right before you get there, you set bigger, loftier goals into the future. It's just how we work. And from the outside, oftentimes, usually, we look successful to other people, yet to ourselves, we're unfulfilled because we always have to be constantly pushing to that next thing. So, Jesse, you've come a long ways. You've started a lot of things. At this point, you have a brilliant new project going underway now. You were part of Techstars. You've had a cool, cool career up till now. I would love it if you could stop and turn around, look back on everything you've done up until today, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and just tell me how you feel about your career until today.
Sure. It's a great, great lead up to this question. And I think it's a really important thing for people to think about. So I feel fantastic. I'm really in a great place, I feel, right now. That doesn't mean that 2 months ago I felt the same way, or that 2 months from now I'll feel that same way. And that really is my answer and my point, is that this whole thing is really, like, entrepreneurship is sort of just a, like, microcosm of life. Like, it's going to have ups and downs. Like, whether it's a product you're working on, or a relationship, or your whatever career you're in right now, or where you live right now and where you want to live, like, it doesn't matter what it is, but there's always going to be that sort of question of, well, what's going to be happening later? Where am I going to be at? And if you get stuck in that mentality of having, you know, a specific goal that you need to get to in order to be happy, like, you'll realize that you'll never get to it because of exactly what you said. Once you get there, you'll have something else. And that's why I always go back to keep making moves. I really love this, what that means, because it has so many different levels, and it relates to this as well, where if you just have a mentality of keep making moves, what that means is that is what drives your happiness, is the fact that you're moving, the fact that you're doing stuff. And so that basically means that you don't need to have a finish line. There is no finish line. You just keep moving, and then things happen, and some of the stuff's good and some of the stuff's bad, but you know that you're going to get some feedback, some things coming back at you, and that's going to make you feel, you know, basically it's going to make you feel, like, it might make you feel bad, it might make you feel good, but that's what, to me, what life is about. And I'm going to bring in a quote here that I really have latched onto, which is, the only reason to be alive is to enjoy it. And that's Rita Mae Brown, who's a feminist and done a couple different things. But I just love that quote, because it's really just, like, it's that simple, you know, like, we're just here to enjoy ourselves. So, you know, that really opens the door for you to just take risks, do all kinds of crazy stuff, and to keep making these moves. And then, you know, you see where you end up. And to me, what I've found is that the more sort of risks you take, and I don't mean jumping off of a cliff without a parachute, I mean pushing your limits, I mean trying new things, I mean getting out there and seeing what you're capable of, the more you do that, like, the more awesome stuff tends to come back at you. It might not be tomorrow or next week, but it'll come back at you.
I love it. I love it. The only reason to be alive is to enjoy it. And then I also love that you just did my job for me and named the episode, Entrepreneurship is a Microcosm of Life.
Boom.
It's so very true, man. There's no difference. It's relationships, it's exactly. failures, it's successes, it's just mental work and trying to just continue on. It's just how it is.
It really is. And it's stuff, all the same stuff.
Stuff you can control, stuff you can't control. It's just how it is. All right, Jesse, yep. This has been a total blast, man. We've got to talk about your business in passing. We've got to talk about Launch Team in passing, but could you right now specifically tell the listener what Launch Team is, where they can find it, and then where they can also track you down online?
Yeah, absolutely. So Launch Team is just at mylaunchteam.com. So if you just go to mylaunchteam.com, you'll see it. Launch Team is essentially a platform for anyone who is trying to build anything. So it could be a single creator, you know, an author trying to put a book out. It could be a startup who's trying to put their product out, or it could even be, you know, a bigger company that's already established and trying to do some new things. And the idea of Launch Team is to essentially bring a group of people together, early adopters, people who are extremely interested in whatever particular thing you're working on, and then allowing you as the creator, as the person who's doing this thing, to leverage those people however you want. And so you can kind of think of it as like a meta Kickstarter, where a Kickstarter is trying to pull in money and crowdfund. With Launch Team, we're trying to just bring in people as the currency, and then the creator uses that currency however they want. And it's a win-win situation, because if you're on a Launch Team and you're helping someone push a product, the creator will give you, you know, the idea is that the creator will give you all kinds of perks. So if you're working on a book, you might be mentioned in the acknowledgments, or you might get one-on-one time with the author, or if you're trying to help someone with a product, you might get early access to that product or get special discounts. And so it's sort of a win-win situation where everyone gets to enjoy in bringing something new to life.
I love it. I love it. So that is mylaunchteam.com. And then
yes.
You're on Twitter. Is that a good place to find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at jtevelo is a great place to find me. And then I also write at jtev.me if you want to check that out. And then also just real quick, wanted to mention that I've set up a special page for everyone at Hack the Entrepreneur just to give away some cool stuff. You can get access to the next book that I'm writing and get that for free. A bunch of resources that I like to use. And that's going to be at jtev.me/HTE for Hack the Entrepreneur. So that's just jtev.me/HTE.
Awesome. Take him up on that. He's giving out his new book for free. Come on, guys. So that's jtev.me/HTE. Also in the show notes, I'll link to that. I'll link to Pat Flynn's new book, Will It Fly? MyLaunchTeam.com. Yes. I'm going to link to Jesse's Amazon page, as well as The One Thing book by Jay Papasan and Gary Keller. And awesome. Jesse on Twitter. Hit him up. Tell him you heard him on the show. Ask him questions if you have any, or tell him how awesome he is. So that was fun. And I appreciate you stopping by so much, Jesse. It's been absolute pleasure to talk to you, man. And just please keep doing what you're doing, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Absolutely. The feeling is definitely mutual. So you too, keep it up. And for everyone listening, just remember to keep making moves.
That was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that as, or at least nearly as much as I did. Jeez. I've talked about this a lot recently, and this seems to be happening more and more. Maybe I'm picking the guests better. I'm not sure, but this idea of not knowing my guest really at all and really making a cool connection. And Jesse and I were really closely aligned mindset-wise in a lot of ways, and I didn't know that until the conversation. And so I really enjoyed getting to talk to Jesse, and I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We went a lot of different directions. We went and covered a lot of places. Jesse is a young entrepreneur who has done some great things. He's had some ups, he's had the downs, but he's on a trajectory to do some huge, huge, massive things. And I'm so happy to have gotten to talk to him today. So from this conversation, I went back and there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things I needed to go back and listen to see if I could narrow it down. And so I went back and I listened and I narrowed it down, and then I narrowed it down some more, and then I narrowed it down a little bit more. I got it so far down until there was this one thing that Jesse said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
You try a bunch of stuff and you try to validate it as quickly as possible. And, you know, you'll hear this all the time, but please, if you're listening, like, take this to heart. Like, it's not just something that people say, or, you know, like entrepreneurs are just like, you know, this is what you should do and blah, blah, blah. It's actually a real thing. Like, you need to actually validate what you're doing. And the only way to do that is, let's go back to the theme of the talk. You have to do stuff. You have to actually decide on something and then just take that leap and push it out.
And that's the hack. Jesse, Jesse, Jesse. So well said. So well. I couldn't have said it better myself. And we went into this several times throughout this conversation, sort of this idea, right? I mean, your one thing is the idea of just keeping on making more and more moves. And then we talked about my idea of like momentum breeds more momentum and how people like to work with people who are already in motion, right? Picture that merry-go-round when you were a child out in the playground and the one kid standing out and all your friends are on it, but there's that one kid standing trying to just from a dead stop be like, jump onto the merry-go-round. It typically doesn't work. That kid on the outside has to start running in the direction of the merry-go-round if you want to get pulled on by somebody else. Think of it like that. Nobody's going to pull you on from a dead stop because we're going to get hurt or you're going to get hurt or something's going to happen. But if you are running and in motion, it's a lot easier for somebody to pull you onto that. And this is a great, it's a great idea. And, but it goes further than that. Even like Jesse says, right? Where you try a bunch of stuff and then how he says to take this like truly to heart, because you've heard this said so many times and you've heard it said so many times because it's so absolutely true. There isn't that perfect idea that you're ever going to find from a dead stop. There isn't an idea that has become something powerful or just something really useful or big as a product or an idea or a service that exists today that is in its state right now, anything even remotely as what the original idea of the creator or the entrepreneur behind it started out as. But as you start your idea and you start that motion, you will sort of, as Jesse says, keep making moves and something will come out of it. Don't worry about what that first move is. Just keep making those moves to validate ideas and sort of bounce off and keep and see where you end up. You'll be absolutely shocked if you decide to start and just put things in motion. If you just make that choice to start, you'll be shocked as to where you end up 6 months from now, a year from now. You can't plan those steps, trust me. But you have to be making steps in order for you to get anywhere. It's just the way it is. I 100% back up what Jesse says. Take this to heart and please just start taking the action now. Jesse, thank you very much. Well, that was fun. I thank you so very much for taking the time to stop by. I really, truly, truly do appreciate it. HackTheEntrepreneur.com is the website. Head over there. Get onto the mailing list. Email. I'd love to be able to send you my best work every Sunday and some other things that are going to help you in your business. They're going to help you take that step if that's what you need. I'm going to be that boot that comes up behind you and kicks you in the ass if that's what you also need. Whatever it is, I'm here to help. So yeah, get onto the email list and stop by, check out the show notes for Jesse, and also make sure to head over to, what was his site? jtev.me/HTE. And he'll give you his newest book absolutely for free, just for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. That's an offer you should not pass up. All right. Thank you so much. It's been a blast. I truly appreciate you taking the time to stop by today. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.